This podcast is sponsored by Runway, air traffic control for your mobile releases. Put your releases on autopilot. Runway will shepherd your release from kickoff to submission to release with no manual intervention. A single source of truth for your releases. Runway integrates with your favorite tools for a bird's eye view over release progress and blockers. Make your releases collaborative. Get a rich, contextualized release runbook that makes capturing responsibilities and tracking tasks crystal clear. Get more control on your releases on App Store and Play Store. Point your browser to runway.team. Thank you for sponsoring my podcast. I'm also revamping my newsletter. Check it out, appforce1.net to sign up. You can also find a sign-up link on my Twitter profile. Hi, and welcome to the 62nd episode of my podcast. Happy New Year, everybody. I want to switch things up a little bit this time around. So I'm not going to be telling you that I've been developing software for over 19 years and developing iOS apps for over 9 years and running Dutch Cocoa Heads for 8 years. I'm just going to start. First of all, there was some good news this evening. The kids are allowed to go to school again next week, so not an extended lockdown for the kids. They're not going to take away many other measures, but now at least my kids can enjoy their school again next week. I think they very much look forward to that, and it's a good thing for them that they are able to just go back to school again. Also, I'm getting my third vaccination tomorrow, so that's like the booster shot. It's not Omicron specific, but at least it improves the protection that the vaccination gives me significantly. And hopefully we won't end up in a situation that you have to get like a new shot every half a year. But I'm glad that I'm able to get my third shot. And I recommend anyone who has the opportunity to do so as well. So in this episode, I'm going to talk about convert your Swift facades into new async await syntax using continuations. Solving Advent of Code 2001 in Swift. What I've learned from Advent of Code 2021. Cascading environment actions in Swift UI. Creating animated message reactions and interactions using Swift UI. And 5 things iOS developers should focus on in 2022. That last article is by Daniel Walls, and I will also talk about his Monday morning tweet, the first one of the new year. So let's dive into the first article of this episode. That's Convert Your Swift Facades to the New Async Await Syntax Using Continuations. It's by Cesar Vargas Casaseca. The new Async Await Swift Concurrency API release together with Swift 5.5 was finally unveiled during WWDC 21 in June. This new architecture fulfilled all the expectations that we iOS developers had, and we who had eagerly been awaiting for this since Swift first was released in 2014. And our hopes got boosted in 2017 when the Swift Concurrency Manifesto was released by Chris Lattner himself. So for all the new APIs and tools that were introduced, the new async await syntax, actors and tasks attracted most of the attention from the Swift community. And that was with reason. And these new additions improve the readability of asynchronous code and the easiness when ensuring thread safety in your apps. There was also another mechanism introduced that didn't capture so much consideration, even though they are powerful when working together with async await. And those are continuations. So what are continuations? According to the documentation, continuations are a mechanism to interface between synchronous and asynchronous code, logging correctness violations. More precisely, a continuation is an object that captures the program state at a given point, being able to continue it when it is required. This might sound very abstract, but you can learn to appreciate it deeper when considering how Apple implements asynchronous code up till now, with callbacks and the delegate pattern. Continuations shine with all the brightness when working with these two patterns. They act as a bridge between the old world, callbacks and delegates, and the new one, async await, to achieve a more readable and structured code by helping to create new async functions facades for the old ones. This is helpful when facading third-party libraries or Apple APIs containing these patterns, as is the case in the article written by Cesar. So in the article by Cesar, he goes into a lot of detail on what these continuations are and how you can use them to bring your callback and delegate-based asynchronous code into the async await world. So it's a nice little detail on the new async await and related features in iOS and macOS. And in Swift, I should really say. And it's one of the things, I missed this one as well. So have a look at these continuations and see if they apply in your situation if you are dealing with some legacy code that you need to bring to the async await world. A number of my listeners have been working on Advent of Code 2021. And for those who don't know what this is, Advent of Code is an advent calendar of small programming puzzles for a variety of skill sets and skill levels that you can be solving in a programming language that you like. It's an advent calendar with code challenges in the month of December. So that's from December 1st till Christmas. And each day you will get a challenge that you can then try and solve with a language of your choosing. I'm linking to two articles of people who participated in Advent of Code 2021 and that share their resulting solutions. It's fun to just browse through their solutions and read the articles because they each had a different challenge that they found to be the most difficult. And that's very interesting because it just shows how different people can think about software development and how different people can come to solutions for the same problem in a different way. So have a look at these two articles. The first one by Oliver Binns and the second one by Hashil Shah. I've linked them both in my show notes and they both shared their solutions on GitHub. It's linked from their articles. Have a look at it. Just browse through their solutions, get acquainted with Advent of Code, and maybe if you haven't, participate in Advent of Code in 2022. I still have to do this at some point myself, but I always like reading up on the solutions that people created after the fact. So these are two of the articles that stood out to me, and I hope you liked them as well. The next article is by Magnus Jensen, Cascading Environment Actions in Swift UI. Magnus has written about the Swift UI environment to pass actions around before and how it enables you to focus on the data of your views. And in this article, he wants to take a little bit of a deeper dive into the same line of thinking and apply it to an observer-like pattern implemented for Swift UI. There are several places in your view hierarchy that you can attach an action to an event, and the goal is that from a subview you can call a single method that calls every action attached to it as it bubbles up through its parent views. He refers to this cascading actions as in the cascade of events. It's an interesting way that you can attach actions to your user interface in Swift UI. I found it interesting that it was a way that you could have like a single type of pattern in all your user interface defined in Swift UI, and that you can then first of all have a singular way that you can actually trigger events, but also it allows you to have like an hierarchy of actions that you want to perform that is based on the position in your view hierarchy. So if you have a button you want to do submit, if it's an action on a different area in your view hierarchy, you might not want to submit but you want to clean up things. Or yeah, it's just something that that really works well if you have some more complex user interface interactions that you need to implement. The next article is by my colleague Stefan. It's actually the first article that he has published in his new role as a developer advocate at the company that I work. I'm not going to push the company line on my podcast, but what I really like about the article is that it's a tutorial about how you can create animated message reactions in a chat applications. And all the sample code in his article is purely Swift UI, and it shows the power and ease of use of the framework. And what's really fun of this article is that it's, yes, of course, it is a company blog, but the article is really about creative ways of using Swift UI. And I just wanted to share that because I was surprised with how little code he needed to achieve the results that he was getting in his article. So yeah, just have a look at it and let me know what you think. All kudos to Stefan for writing this article in such a concise and informative way. So New Year resolutions, and Donnie Wells is here to serve. So his article, 5 Things iOS Developers Should Focus On in 2022. Donnie Wells lists 5 topics that he thinks you should focus on in 2022. So I will list the highlights. He considers that you should be using Swift UI alongside UIKit and vice versa. So basically he says, start using Swift UI, people. It's now prime time, ready to go. And we're going to be using it more and more. He also suggests to look at app architecture. And he doesn't mean like just learn all the default patterns like Viper and all the MVVM and whatnot architectures, but to just learn about the one level behind app architecture. So single responsibility principle, dependency injections, abstractions, protocols, generics, just the building blocks of a good app through its architecture. And that will be extremely useful when working on interoping Swift UI and UIKit in a single code base. The third topic that he suggests you should really be looking at is async await, especially since the latest Xcode release with 13.2, that Swift concurrency is now available on app targets on iOS from iOS 13 and up. Now is the time to really dive in on async await, because we have to support iOS 13, 14 and 15. And for most companies, that's like a very reasonable number of versions to support back historically. Of course, if you still have to support iOS 12 and earlier, you're out of luck. But even then, it's worthwhile to start looking at async await, because who knows what will happen a year from now. The fourth topic is probably something that is near and dear to Donny. So that's core data. And I agree to Donny suggesting that you should look at core data as like the default way to persist data in your application, because it's just the platform or the system option that is made available to you to store data in a structured way. And of course, he has a great book on this topic that you should consider buying if you want to know more about core data. The fifth topic is accessibility, and a topic that has been getting a lot of mindshare in my RSS feeds the last few months. More and more people are indicating that they think accessibility is important, and also accessibility is something that is more than supporting people with a permanent disability, because quite often people are also what people are calling temporarily disabled. So this could be somebody who has a broken arm, but it could also be like a person with a kid on their arm in a grocery store that have to operate their phone, and they either have just one finger available or no finger at all. You also want to be accessible in your app for those people quite often, because you will be surprised how many people are actually using accessibility features on their iPhone, even though they are not permanently disabled themselves. And they're doing that just because it's convenient, because they have an app that has proper support for accessibility, and it allows them to do things that would otherwise just be impossible. So those are the articles for the new year. And now let's dive into the Donny's Monday morning tweet. So new year, new Monday morning tweet. Not a lot of people have responded to Donny's Monday morning tweet. And that's most likely because a lot of people are still either on their time off, or they're still just getting started with the new year, so taking care of some backlog of email or whatnot. So I will just list all the people that have responded to the tweet by Donny right now. First of all, I actually was the first person who responded. So I set up a crazy amount of lights around my desk. I added a couple of key lights around my desk to be able to do some green screening for work. I'm working on some conference participations for 4 conferences already. So hopefully all those conference talks will materialize, and I'll be able to travel a little bit in Europe and maybe the US and some other places around the world this year to present at conferences. I'm also going to focus on writing some copy this week. I installed Final Cut Pro for some video work that I need to have finished for the end of the week. So that's a completely new skill set that I'm trying to develop. And of course, I mentioned that I need to record my podcast and do some development work. So Michaela Caron starts working again this week and is hoping to hear more about a freelance project from a client. She's expecting to have a very busy first couple of months this year. Leo Gideon is trying to get back into the grind, and he released a new episode with Charlie Chapman, and he's preparing some Swift packages for release. He's finishing up an episode with Mustafa, that's the creator of the Tasks app. Great app, you should try it. Twitter handle at the Task app. And he's having a chat with Mikhail Tigas, so he's probably recording with him. And he's starting some work on a future video, and he's doing some updating on the Bright Digit website. Denise Nipponing is finally learning vector graphics since the first time she's been exposed to it 20 years ago, in Flash 5 even. And maybe she will be able to make herself an app icon one day. Ben McLeod Wilkie is a nervous wreck. He submitted his first app for review last night to the App Store. No worries, Ben, you'll get through this. And hopefully you will share what your app is about soon, and we can enjoy your work on our own devices within due time. Laurent is publishing a sports app that makes use of Vision and CoreML, and he's going to work on some polishing of that over the next week. And he's hoping that Donny is also having a great week. Luke Lazzaro is getting his portfolio ready for a junior position. He's hoping to get it done by the end of the week so he can start applying for jobs as soon as possible. And Tim has been turning in his graduation project, and he's starting to prep to present and defend it in a couple of weeks. So he's wrapping up his education, and who knows, maybe he'll be applying for jobs as well soon. He's a little bit nervous about it, but according to his mentor, he's set up for success right now. So good luck, Tim, in the defense of your graduation project, and I know you'll just do fine. Chris Lasinski has been learning LazyGrid, and last week he implemented continuous delivery relationships, and he's getting close to releasing his app, and maybe he will start to test it with TestFlight in like 1 or 2 months from now. Kiosaya Lintun is wishing Donny a good morning, and it's still afternoon in his region, but anyway, he's wishing everybody a fantastic new year. Sentinelite indicates that he has launched his plugin for Stream Deck. It's something that he worked on for about 2 months. It's a plugin that allows you to launch macOS shortcuts from Stream Deck, and it also features an accessibility mode for visually impaired and or other users. And yeah, it's a nice little plugin for Stream Deck that allows you to add shortcuts and gives you a lot more flexibility with this neat little device. I don't have one myself because I just use my custom-built MacroPad for similar use cases. So Alexander Steiner is getting back to work and learning more about indie app dev marketing. So he's asking if somebody has some recommendations for learning materials. And Armand van der Zwan is hoping that Xcode Cloud is coming out of beta. And Topolo Giraffe is wishing Donny a happy new year. And that's about it for this week's Monday morning tweet. Usually there's a lot more responses on it, but I can imagine that just right after New Year, people are still just trying to get back into their normal day-to-day rhythm again after a few days or maybe a few weeks off. And yeah, I hope everybody has a great new year, and that 2022 will be a lot less corona-focused than the last 2 years that we've been dealing with. So best wishes to everybody, and happy new year. If you have any feedback or questions, please reach out on Twitter at AppForce1. My DMs are always open. And if you are interested in appearing as a guest on my podcast, please reach out again through Twitter at AppForce1, because I'm always looking for new people to be a guest on my podcast. Lead Developer, best practices and tips for lead software developers. PDF, MOBI and EPUB format. AppForce1.net/lead developer. All one word.